So this is Warpcast. My name is Bohika there. And am I logged in still? I'm
Yeah,
still
you are.
fiddling around with this. Usually play with this on my phone. It kind of works the same as X. You make an account and you can then engage. Yeah, you can subscribe to channels which are created by people. And you can follow. For instance, I created Quamfi, the Quamfi community. Ladies and gentlemen, comrades, welcome to episode 6 of the Quamfi Show. It is crazy town out there. Markets went up only for a couple of weeks. You've all been there. And then proceeded to, well, dump a couple of days back. Panic all around. Interesting times. We've observed some things, and we're definitely going to have a chat about this. There is a new social platform where we created a Quamfi channel. We're talking about that as well. And then there is obviously some quant news articles, publications, not necessarily any really new news, right? The stuff you like in bull markets so we can pump price. Maybe there is. Luxembourg, the House of Financial Technology, wrote an article shouting out Quant Network. And Gilbert wrote an article on the digital euro legislation, which I find interesting. So we'll be having a look and a chat about that. And then, of course, there is the Bitcoin happening coming up in only 29 days. And market sentiment is a little bit weird because markets are weird. So we have a loaded show, to say the very least. Tim, how have you been, brother?
It's been 2 weeks since the last English episode.
It's like clockwork.
Yeah, like clockwork. Just a bit humbled by the housing market experience here. So basically, we have this platform where they list all the properties you can buy in the entire country. And they have a certain price, but then in reality that price turns out to be like 10 to 15% higher than the actual value that is mentioned, at least in the area where I am looking. I'm not sure about the rest of the country. But I think it was also on the news this past weekend that a lot of realtors are noticing now that the process of overbidding is gaining traction again, and that the houses are on average being needed 10% higher bids than what you expect. So it's kind of a humbling experience thinking, oh yeah, well, I've put out a pretty good bid on a house, and then it turns out that someone else is putting 30 or 40k extra above what you already offered. It's a weird experience, and the value of money is relative at this point, I feel like. It's crazy.
Yeah. Location is obviously a thing, right? Because people know
for sure.
What they can ask in a certain area, and then they lowball the price for the house on offer, knowing that it will become an auction. And if you have maybe 15 interested parties, then people will literally be bidding against themselves because you can only place a bid once, right? It's blind. So you just put down your best offer. And if people really want the fucking house, you actually play against yourself. So it's really fucking clever. And you got to get crazy, crazy numbers being paid for property. So yeah. And in your situation, right, when you're alone and other people are either partners, right, then they have two salaries and maybe some saved cash, it's a difficult position to be in for sure.
Absolutely. I do have the luck that I'm I'm into crypto, so things are a bit easier for me, but it's still an insane and humbling experience. And I feel like inflation, like these numbers don't even really match reality anymore at this point. It's not like the entire world's changed that much the past couple of years. It's just
No.
purely based on inflation. And yeah, that's kind of really worrying. And
Yeah. Is the noise canceling enough, Tim, or can you hear Liana wrapping a gift in the background?
I hear a little bit of noise, but it's not too much.
Okay,
So
great.
it doesn't really bother me. Yeah, so I'm just happy to be in crypto. Not necessarily at this point in time, but
Yeah,
we
it's.
are going all over the place, I feel like. We were like 125 euro past couple of few days ago, and now it's 106, 107. So we
Yeah, something like
lost like
that.
10, 15%.
Something like
Oh
that.
man. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been entertained for the last couple of weeks. I really enjoy watching people squirm, right? Everybody is trying to get a lay of the land, and everybody is making predictions, and some people are post ETF evangelists, right? They believe that everything has changed dramatically. And then you have the people that are not so convinced, are still grasping to the halving, right? And that we need a correction of 40% to regain strength. And then you have the people that are actually from macro, right? Like Rahul Powell and stuff, saying, listen, it's not going to go up in a straight line, but we are on 4-year cycles. And the next year, year and a half, is going to be fucking crazy. And Rahul Powell literally says, don't fuck this up. So Rahul Powell for the next year and a half is a perma bull. You have some people that believe that the ETF changed everything and cycles are out of the window for a while. And then you have the people that believe that this is all a trap and that we're going to crash miserably and we're going to go that this was the bull market and we're going to go back into bear. I do not know. I think I'm in the camp that thinks there's a mixture of all of these. I do believe that the 4-year cycle is a thing. I think that the halving will have an effect, but I also can see, quote unquote, very clear what the ETF is doing. And I am interested about the people that are buying the ETFs, right? And their investment psychology, horizon, their money, and so on. I think the crypto bros are their own worst enemy right now, right?
Yeah,
Everybody
no, yeah.
has their narrative and everybody's yelling against each other. No, this is gonna happen, that's gonna happen. And then the self-fulfilling prophecy takes place on both sides of the aisle, right? When we go up, it's like, I told you it's ETF and it will go up indefinitely. And then eventually, obviously, it corrects, mostly because the crypto bros that have been in here since God knows how long stop believing that it can go up and then they create the correction themselves. This is all just my speculation, but
Yeah, of course.
there's a lot of people right now also that were well into profits and they took their profits around all-time high to buy the Solana hype, the AI hype. And we just spoke about this pre-show. Friends of ours are literally following X and other of those social media platforms. And are literally just sending soul to people that are tweeting or Xing or whatever you want to call it. So they just trust them that they actually have a project and that they, if they sell them soul, they have a chance to get into the pre-sale of their project. And if they don't, that they get their money back. And yes, for some it worked, and for some projects, I mean, people just lost money. There's tons of impersonators out there. There's rug pulls. there was news like the other day where a dev accidentally burned 10 million because he made a mistake with the smart contract. Shit like that. It's a fucking zoo out there. It truly is. And I watched a video yesterday, couldn't find it. But they were talking that there is like crypto right now, 2 million projects going on. 2 million, right?
Yeah, I think.
Tickers are no longer available. Everybody's dubbing tickets right now. Tickers, right? So
Yep.
if you want to be called example, right? Top of mind for me, Gett did a rebrand. They're going to be open ticketing right now. And their ticker is OPN, which was already taken, but it's from a project from 10 years ago and it's dead and blah, 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 blah. So even reputable companies now just choose to dub a ticker and just fight for the bandwidth because they're gone.
Yeah, I think
Crazy.
we are indeed our own worst. I'm gonna make a time stamp out of this. I think, yeah, the crypto space is its own worst enemy, and yeah, because like at the moment we feel a general uptrend in actual cryptocurrencies, which have actual traction in the real world, like Bitcoin and Ethereum and all like the stuff you find in top 100 mostly. You start seeing this pattern where people are getting back on the crypto bandwagon of, hey, how can we make the most money out of this? And that's where the memes start coming in now. And I'm not sure how this was in the past, but for sure, the past couple of years, we've seen it. Like, that's the reason why coins like Doge and Shiba and Bonk will always do well, because people are using this to just start making money, and they go for these quick pump and dumps, and it's getting actually more and more ridiculous than you would have thought. Because
In my
honestly,
opinion,
you expect some form of regulation, but apparently it just doesn't really happen. It's still a decentralized circus.
I feel you're mixing two things. And I only realized this like a couple of weeks ago. I think you're mixing pump and dumps with meme coins per se, right? I mean, a meme coin doesn't necessarily have to be a pump and dump. I mean, we assume it is, but in my opinion, a lot of meme coins are actually pretty fucking honest because they're not claiming to be anything else but a meme coin. And yes, that is not a get out of jail free card for being a fucking scammer and a motherfucker, but people know what to put their money in.
Yeah,
It's a meme coin.
that's
And
true.
that is essentially a crypto lottery ticket.
It kind of is, indeed. Yeah.
What I find more troubling and disturbing is what I said earlier, right? People just posting an address like, okay, I'm going to start this coin. We're going to call it, I don't know, and just send me SOL and you could get into pre-sale. That is more than a leap of faith, right? There's not even a project there, but even then, people's eyes are open. But there are also the meme coins where there's a coordinated group behind the scenes, just inflating a token, creating a narrative, and then dumping as soon as there's some volume coming in. And it's a thin line, but to me, still the most disturbing shit to me is, and this is not per se the right example, but XRP. Right? They're claiming to do all these wonderful, beautiful things. They claim to be used for God knows what, for what, how long now? 10 years nearly? And they're not doing anything. And that's just plain lying, if you ask me. And I'm naming XRP now, not necessarily the best example, maybe, but that was top of mind. But there's a ton of other projects that claim to provide all this utility and all these world-changing, paradigm-shifting
Features.
features,
Yeah.
but there's nothing. There's just quote-unquote 200 people working on something that will never get off the ground, likely. And I think that's worse than meme coins, to be honest. But yeah, it's getting a little bit crazy out there still. And most of retail is not even here. And this is not necessarily my opinion. I quote Raoul Powell again. One of his latest late night things he does. It's like there's almost no social volume on Google, on the Play Store, right? Looking for crypto apps like Coinbase, Kraken, and so on. So retail's not even here. And that is also why a lot of people on this pre-halving pump is a trap side of things are still super bearish. And you can actually notice that there is so much fear in the market still, even within seasoned crypto owners, because of this pre-halving unprecedented Bitcoin all-time high pump. Yeah, you can quote me on that. Because this has never happened before. And if this is institutions are evil. They are pumping the markets now so they can dump on us and steal our Bitcoin before retail is in or when retail gets in. Stuff like that. I don't think that's the case. I think that because of the thinking, a lot of crypto bros just keep on trying to overanalyze what institutions are doing. We know fuck all about what they're doing because they keep it under wraps. We expect something to happen because we see something on chain. I think the catalyst in my book was there were no ETF inflows for a day or two, whatever. I think it was even over the weekend. And CPI, right? The consumer price index. The Fed could become hawkish again.
Yeah.
And maybe they're not lowering rates. A combination of those two things. And we, the crypto bros, still hold the vast majority of Bitcoin. So we can easily create a cascade by selling. And every fart that we feel coming, we post on X and we just retweet and we barely think for ourselves.
So it's just our own tiny circus that's in.
I feel that is the case. I feel that we are just fucking ourselves over and over again. And yes, it's market psychology. And yes, things need to cool off and RSIs and God knows what kind of confluences and lines and things we have, but we keep on forgetting that, and this is also for quant, that our negativity on whatever has an effect. It has a butterfly effect, right? If we keep crying, fucking quant, not doing anything, and we don't hear anything from the team, blah, 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 which is obviously not true, because the team has been very active on LinkedIn. Don't look on X anymore. They're on LinkedIn. They're liking, they're sharing, they're being quoted. They're writing articles. So there's activity galore. And all the partners are also very active. But if we keep on posting that there's no utility, that staking is never coming, and so on, what do you think will happen with price? Same with Bitcoin. If big following social media influencers keep on spouting stuff like this is not going to last, I'm buying Sol, it can go 100x in a day, what do you expect people do when they smell a little bit of fear? Obviously they're dumping, obviously they're going to greener pastures, and to a degree rightfully so, because most people don't do research and they don't have a clue what they're doing. Am I panicking? No, not at all. Am I buying shit? Yes, I bought some meme coins. I also got some GET, right? They had a rebrand coming up. This is for ticketing, event tickets, Formula One, concerts, stuff like that. They're trying to free the world of Ticketmaster and the cabal that is behind that. I thought it was a good cause, which is interesting. And yeah, I threw a couple of hundred left and right into some shit coins, right? Things like Degen. We'll talk about that in a bit. I got some higher. What was another one? Forgot already. But yeah. there are some things to play around a bit. But a correction like this doesn't matter, right? Quant between 100 and 130, up and down, back and down. It's truly irrelevant for what is going on and what is coming. And as long as you keep your position there, why worry about all the noise? And even if you're underwater, right, for a while now, which a lot of you guys are, I know, 2 years is a long fucking time to be underwater. But if you start spouting negativity and just spreading quote unquote FUD, and yes, I know you're not calling it FUD, but every time when we go up to 120, you're like, oh, in a week, we'll probably be down back to 100 again. Yeah, that is FUD as well, right? And I know it's just venting and sarcasm and cynicism. In a funny way, right? But it still has an effect on people. And I think a lot of people still don't get that. And I think that's the same with the Bitcoin, and it's the same with everything. Everything has an effect, right? You cannot pick on the same boy over and over. And, even if he knows it's a joke and not hurt his feelings and damage him long term. It's not how it works. And it also influences other people. Because other people think something of you. Other people might join in, don't know the relationship you have with that person or with this token. Is what it is. Rant over.
Yeah.
And cut. Yeah.
But yeah, what can I say? It's kind of really difficult to chart this, or at least interpret this current state of affairs in the market.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going all over the place. I'm into certain trading groups, or at least groups of chats where various cryptocurrencies are being discussed. And I feel like the sentiment is going literally in any direction on both sides of the aisle, right? So indeed, you have these post-ETF thinkers who believe it's only up season for the coming 2 years. And then you have the classic crypto crowd, which is like, yeah, but this probably will front run the halving event, and then we'll have to see where this goes. And I feel like I'm personally somewhere stuck in between. Like we're seeing all the shenanigans. Sure, Bitcoin is doing well because of institutional inflows, I think, and just people in general being drawn back into Bitcoin. So lots of people, green candles attract more green candles. And I feel like some other cryptocurrencies are doing well too. But then there's this, I'm not sure how much percent of the market it is, how much liquidity is in there, but I feel like a vast part of the market is just pure and solely pump and dump schemes in meme coins, in kinds of all kinds of ambitious projects that which we didn't even know existed a couple of weeks ago. And I feel like that is where a lot of classic crypto people go in times like these. And that's where I'm usually not going. So I really don't know how I should interpret this, right? So I feel like if you're entering that casino of being in memes, being in all kinds of projects which claim to be doing all kinds of things with a Chinese office somewhere because you saw a photoshopped image, probably, or not even Photoshop in it today, because you saw some AI image and it seems credible. That could work very well, but I've never been in that space, so I don't really know what to expect. And I think the sentiment on that side of the aisle is really, this is all fun and games until the music stops, and you literally don't know when it will stop. And I think that where I am in, I'm on the other side of, yeah, well, I'm just expecting long-term growth. But for this point in time, before a halving with ETFs now in the game, I really don't know what to expect. I expect it to go higher because more money will logically flow into this market. But at this point in time, I really don't know. With quant, it's the same, right? So we are kind of profiting from, like the general positive attention for crypto again. And so are some other projects, which are also very promising and are actually legit, but they don't really take off so far. So yeah, I feel like this crypto casino is our biggest enemy, is my biggest enemy at the moment. And yeah, it's always hard to interpret, and you can make insane gains, but you can also see your entire portfolio evaporate in a matter of days. So yeah, are you willing to take that risk? I'm not sure. I'm not sure how you see this, but that's kind of where I am standing right now. So you have all these fundamental discussions about the direction the market is going, and then you have a pure casino of classic crypto crowd trying to make the most of it, all scared of music that will stop or will continue during a halving event and ETFs. You cannot predict it. You can literally not predict it. I feel like.
And I think you're hitting the nail on the head, right? Everybody's on the edge of the seat because everybody's overinvested in shit they shouldn't be in,
Yeah,
because they
exactly.
want to be, yeah, they want to be in different projects,
I
but
feel like.
most of those projects have been just stagnant for a while, right? No news is bad news in crypto for some stupid fucking reason, and people just go for greener pastures. And I said it once, and I'm going to say it again: we are going to lose a lot of comrades more this run than ever, because the people that need it most are actual that need to hold on to quant the most are actually the ones that have arguably left the ship entirely or partly to get more Q&T by selling different coins. But like what we saw the last week, let me pull up a chart real quick. It is literally a fart, right? It is a fart. Can you see my screen, Tim?
I can.
All
Yeah.
right. It is literally a fart. So if we look at Bitcoin, we go to the 7 day, let's go to a month, right? We went from 67 down to 58. So we lost 10K overall. But before that, it was, well, up for less at least 3 months, right? We went from about 30,000 euros, give or take, to nearly 70,000 euros. And now we had a little burp and we went down. And what happened? Minus 16, minus 18, minus 20. And that's on the 7 day, right? Minus 20. Everything, nothing was spared. Everything went to shit. And a lot of the meme coins did even worse, right? We're still in the top 100, but a lot of the meme coins did even worse. I'm not going to scroll down that far, but you can ask yourself, right? Will they recover? Maybe, maybe not. But everything is enlarged on smaller coins. The people that are usually in those, and I know a couple, they see it go down, they panic, and they decide to cut their losses and buy back into Q&T. Same happens when Q&T goes up more than the rest. They either take profits or they cut their losses in their meme coin. So every time you lose a little bit of your portfolio, And that's just what happens. That's what happened in 2021, right? When we were a stablecoin at 40 for a whole month and a half. And now we're a stablecoin for a year and somewhat more. People get impatient. People go to get shit coins. Somebody farts in the market. Meme coins take a dive because everybody is overextended and everybody gets scared and they want to flee back to their projects. And the cascade and round we go.
Yeah, and this story repeats and repeats and repeats, but it's not necessarily now for QNT, but I feel like what is happening is that everyone kind of understands that fundamentally you need the actual projects from the top 100. But in order to increase your number of tokens or coins in that top 100, you need to be part of the casino. And that casino has music playing, but you never know when it stops. And that's exactly what's happening right now. Because as soon as in the top 100 something changes, the underlying casino of memes and what have you not crashes immediately. And as soon as some music starts playing again, everyone starts going to the casino in order to make more money. It's a very toxic game. And I'm
I'll
not
just
part
make
of
it
it.
up in the next cycle.
Exactly. And that cycle will be very short. It will be a very short-lived cycle. Yeah, I'm just not part of that game. I cannot do that. Let's look at
Let's,
portfolios.
yeah, because we have Tim here. Tim is still up 6,000 euros, a total profit loss of 60%. Everything is red right now, on the 7 day, on the 24 hour, and on the 1 hour, except for AmpleForth. AmpleForth, he's
Hey.
still up 87% on the 7 day. Orca, the whale, he's down 25%. He's still up 143 on BitTensor, 100% on OrdiSwap, 16% on Chainlink, 82 on Vector Space, and 54 on Uniswap, which is his biggest holding. Not bad. Not bad
No,
given the correction of the market for
I predicted this.
25% on average.
Exactly.
You did reasonably well, right? OrdiSwap took the biggest dump with 37%. Vector Space second with 32 on the 7 day, right?
Buttering the storm.
Mine is probably not doing so well. Yeah, I'm down 1,700, so I actually gained a bit because Neon gained a little bit over the last week, but it went down again, back to 121. It was back to 150 for a bit. But I'm still down 1,700 euros. Check D, I'm still up 41%, and I'm up 143 on BitTensor, and down 60% on Neon. On Neon, we bought a top. Let's see, transactions, because I bought for 2,88 euros, so that was nearly an all-time high. Diversification at play once again. Our portfolios right now. So Tim is ahead about 9K on me, which is really nice. Which is really nice. And if we then go back, right, to market cap, and we go back to QNT, because QNT is at position 67 at the moment. If you look at what it did on the 24 hours, it's down 7. On the 7 day, it's down 11. So on the week, it performed really well. And then people are obviously going to say, yeah, but it didn't go up as much either, which is true. But I think the moderate volatility is kind of a feature for quant. Shit like Floki, plus 443%. On the 30-day, that is just madness. What is interesting about this? There's an experiment going on. Quant Papa made a token, Hamstar, and he proved that without any money, you can just create millions of market cap out of nowhere. I'll leave the details there. But if you have a token with a limited supply, and you can get it to get some traction and trade, market cap will go up really fucking quickly. And getting into the top 100, if you wanted to, is very, 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 very easy. Because the entire formula for market cap is just broken. So what a lot of these projects do is they create a system with which they gain a lot of market cap in a short time. There's no liquidity in the pools, right? You need liquidity to be able to cash out. So there's no liquidity in the pool. They don't put any money. They just create the token, pay like $10. Token gets created. The distribution takes care of the market cap. You only need a couple of sellers and a couple of buyers to boost that. And as soon as it reaches the top 100, there are so many people coming in that it adds liquidity. And that's when people tend to go, the owners of the token, and dump a ton of their tokens and clear out that pot. But even if the market cap is, for instance, 2 billion, 2.7 in this case, there is not 2.7 billion in liquidity. No way in hell. Even for Bitcoin, there is not 1.3 trillion in liquidity. Maybe a couple of hundred billion, maybe, but probably not even that. So these are truly paper gains. And it's first come, first serve. So when the panic strikes and the liquidity pool gets emptied, then you could be left with a bag and no way to sell without a ton of slippage. Corn Papa spoke about that there were 2,000 Hamstar left in his liquidity pool and a bunch of BNB. But if people wanted to buy the 2,000 Hamstar, they needed to bring 1.5 million simply because of the slippage. Because of the problem with liquidity, which is insane, but also very, very interesting, because you can literally create money out of nothing in crypto. And sometimes you get the stick with the shit on it. But yeah, be careful out there. Do not trust market cap. Even this, the fully diluted value metric here, is a nice indication. But if everything is circulating, right, it scores a one. So that means that max supply, or sorry, total supply is the same as the circulating supply. If a token has an infinite supply, like Dogecoin, it still scores a one, but new tokens get minted all the time, which is funny. Because here you can see these numbers are the same, but it has an indefinite supply, as you can see here. So this means that technically it can increase its market cap forever. We had a discussion about this in the Dutch group. I'm going to leave it at this. But be careful on vetting projects and make sure you understand more than merely market cap and fully diluted value.
Yeah, because it's a warped image.
It is. It's a wax nose, what we would say in Dutch.
A wassen neus.
It's a wassen neus. Anyway, let's, or do you have anything to add on this, Tim?
No, not necessarily. I think it's just very difficult to look.
Just say yes. Just say yes. Yes, I have something to add.
Yeah, okay. I mean, yeah, it's just very difficult to look at this top 100 also because, for example, if you look at BitTensor or Tau, I think it's somewhere on place 32 here.
Yeah,
here it's on place 32 on CoinGecko. But if you go to CoinMarketCap, could you do that? Go to the competitor. I'm using CoinMarketCap because I once started on CoinMarketCap and now my entire portfolio is historically based on CoinMarketCap, so I always use this one, although I prefer CoinGecko. And then, it's also on 30. Okay, they use the same. That's interesting. Okay, so they use the same variables of parameters, whatever you call it. I thought it was like place 200 on the coin market cap, but it's apparently 32. Okay. No, it's just difficult to read the top 100 correctly.
Yeah,
Because with all the
it's
stable coins, the meme coins with infinite supplies, and we are trying to compete
yeah.
in that with a fully diluted supply that's fully on the market. So what you
Yeah.
see is what you get with quant. And we
Yes.
are in a space where that doesn't apply.
Yes. It's not a level playing field in that regard. But
No.
our time will come. In the meantime, I want to talk about Warpcast. So, what is Warpcast? Let me close this. Otherwise, you're going to be looking at the numbers all the time. You'll be distracted. So, Warpcast is a clone of X. As you all know, X is an open sewer, it is centralized, it is riddled with bots and people that are just farming engagement. There's good content there as well, but it's an open sewer. It's a shit show. What is needed, arguably, on the internet right now is decentralization of data ownership, right? And a spot where people can do what they want to do with less fear of their data, their information, and so on. Sounds a little bit aluminum hat. That's not the case. Farcaster was created. It is built on optimism. It's a decentralized platform where people can build apps on Farcaster. You can Google that. I'll put a link in the description. What you can do is you can just build just about anything. And one of the things that was created was Warpcast. And Warpcast is an X clone where everybody owns their own data and it is decentralized. So everybody can make their own rules for their channels and so on. It is all tied to a crypto wallet that you get when you create a Farcaster account. And I made a QuantFi community there. So let's take us there. Okay. So this is Warpcast. My name is Bohika there. And am I logged in still? I'm
Yeah,
still
you are.
fiddling around with this. I usually play with this on my phone. It kind of works the same as X. You make an account and you can then engage. Yeah, you can subscribe to channels which are created by people, and you can follow. Now, for instance, I created Quamfi, the Quamfi community. Yeah, you see it's booming with three followers right now. I'll get you a link in a bit where you can also come in here. Making this channel was not free. This cost me 25 euros equivalent. You want to create a channel, cost 2,500 a year, right? There are some rules and regulations for this. But because of this paywall, it is not an open sewer because scammers want to make money, not spend it. And scamming is not as easy as you think. You need to have a lot of attempts and a lot of fake engagement to get that going.
Yeah, definitely.
To do it on this channel, on this Warpcast right now, it's just not lucrative. The same goes for getting an account. An account costs $5 a year to make an account and to actually post and read on here. That's a paywall. And for that, you get like 20,000, 25,000 of interactions, which is a lot. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it is a lot. So I got this and I created this community. And I'd love you to join. why is this interesting? For one, it is not contaminated with bots and with all these stupid incentives that have been ingrained on X for a while. And arguably everybody here is human. What is also fun is because this is decentralized, you need incentives. Yeah, there's no ads here and shit. There's a token called DGEN. And this token is integral to this platform. People can tip content creators for their contributions. So let's say I create something in Quamfy or in dogs or in fishing or whatever. These are the things I follow. Then people can give you DGEN, right? If we go to my notifications, then you can see here, I shared something from the open ticketing ecosystem and Boss responded, nice, can't wait to see what they've been cooking. 250 DGEN. He just gave me 250 DGEN. One DGEN is right now $0.003. Depending on how much content you create and how many interactions you get an allowance every day. Boss has a much bigger allowance than I do. He has like 10K now. He doesn't get that to keep for himself, but every day he can give away to other people 10,000 DGEN. I could give away around 250 because I'm not really that good of a content creator, interestingly enough. But you can just give that away. You cannot keep it. So in that way, good quality content creator here. He's a top caster. They get paid, but they also can pay people, which is really cool because it really incentivizes people to make high quality content, be engaging, be positive, and so on. You can also put, and some channels have this, a paywall on there, and that works with warps, right? And this is almost done. I'm done with the warp cost. But some channels require 100 warps to be able to speak there. Why? Otherwise, people will be shitposting. And shitposting is allowed, obviously, depending on the rules to a degree. But if you shitpost too much and people warn you and you still violate, they just kick you out. You can get back in, costs 100 warps. So this is a really nice way, in my opinion, to keep everything nice, respectful, mature, etc.
So it's basically pay to speak.
No, it is not, because you some channels are, right? If you go to Farcaster, which is the mother company of where Warpcast is on, if you want to speak here, you need 100 warps because they just don't want to clog the channel with people just throwing shit over the wall, which is fine. Yeah. But most other things like dogs and DGEN and whatever, it's just free to post. But that's a choice, right? You don't have to join everything. And that is also fine. But you also get warps. If you guys use my link that I'll show you in a bit, which I'll show you now. This is my QR. If you use this, you get 50 warps and I get 50 warps. Those warps can be used to buy things on this platform. And that is nice. I think that is nice. I think that is cool. So if you just create content, if you're active, you do not have to pay for anything. You can just farm everything, right? And the same goes with, for instance, Dracula, which is a TikTok variation where you can give people blood as a reward. You also get awarded blood for going through their TikTok feed. Whenever you watch a video, you get a couple of drops of blood. And you can also give other people blood, which also gives you blood back. And blood will also have a value on the crypto market eventually. So it is a really nice ecosystem where people get financially incentivized to be positive and engage with other people. And I like that. I really do. I'm not really sure if this links now. This link doesn't work. I'll put a link to Warpcast in the description of the video as well. And maybe you want to join. I'd love to see you in the Quamfi community. We're getting a logo still. Shield is making that for us. Thanks, brother. And we're going to try and make this a really nice Quamfi community like we used to have on Twitter and like we have on Telegram. This is not going to be Quamfi show themed. It's not going to be an extension of the Quamfi show per se. This is going to be a quant representation on Warpcast. So that for that. Tim, do you think I missed anything? Anything you want to know? Anything you want to say about this?
No. Just how did you find this platform?
Boss.
Okay.
Boss.
It's a kind of niche. You are the only person I've heard about it.
Yes, it is really, really new. It is really, really new. There's not many people on there. I believe there's only like 20,000 users yet. So you're really, really early. And the big benefit of being really, really early is that everybody that has a ton of degen to give away, there are not a lot of people to give the degen to. So if you're a good content creator, you can farm a lot of degen.
Yeah.
And for the true degens, degen is on base. And this is the trajectory that degen has been on since January 22nd. Let's put it on the year now. It started January 16th. Then it was like, God knows how low. It went up 18,000%. And I got it back somewhere beginning of March for about 0.02. Dumped my money for a while. But this is getting traction. And there are more platforms that are also going to incentivize with DGEN. Which I think is really cool. I think they're doing really good things. A lot of airdrops and shit. And it's a very nice way to give back to people that create content without spending money, right? So if you make content and people like your content, you're going to get likes and shares, etc. Means you get a bigger bag of DGEN to give back to the community. That's how it goes.
Understand.
That's also a very nice way to disperse the DGEN tokens among the community, right? I mean, you could just give big bags to influencers. But in this way, you give it to the influencers that really earn it because it is engagement based. If you're just like me, I do a lot of posts, but I get very few likes, very few shares. So my DGEN allocation is really low. And Boss is really active in a ton of channels and a lot of things he's passionate about. And he loves creating the content for that. And people love him for it. And he gets rewarded with DGEN by those people that love it. And he can give back because he gets more DGEN to give to other people.
Fair enough. Yeah. I feel like I'm always kind of late to these things, but also because I'm not that active anymore with all kinds of crypto. I have too much going on at the moment to really wrap my head around.
Grab a glass of water.
I don't know, with all this stuff that's going on, I feel like I'm currently really missing out on everything that's happening in the crypto space, but it's just solely because I have a ton of things in my personal life going on that I need to sort out first. It really takes a lot of bandwidth to be on top of everything.
For sure. And it is. And obviously, I'm also so busy, right? With life, with the kids, and a ton of things going on. But I find this stuff interesting.
It is for sure. And if you're early, you have first mover advantage. So that's a great thing.
You can be really early on Warpcast. It is still a little bit buggy in some places. Dracula is even worse, right? The TikTok variant. There's so many of those. How do you call the Asian bot dancer girls? Drives me crazy. They need to put filters on there, so I stopped using it. But it is
For sure.
very fun. It is very lucrative, and it is very pure because most of these groups here have only 972 followers, right? Dogs, philosophy, 2K followers, psychedelics, 683 followers. So this is all really, really nascent. But I like it. And if you are early and you are still really early, because Warpcast is not up for that long, only a month or so, you can build a very, very nice community right now. And well, that's that. So let's get to some quant stuff. What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, we need to look at some things the team has posted.
Yes. Let's see. Okay, so this is interesting. We start off with the Luxembourg House of Financial Technology. 5 days ago. Thrilled to share how our fintech ecosystem is making significant strides in the financial world. One of our members, Quant, has been hard at work on their groundbreaking Project Rosalind, rocket emojis. Over the past 2 years, Quant has collaborated with the Bank for International Settlements, the BIS, the Bank of England, and UST. They've leveraged their Overledger platform to explore innovative solutions in the central banking space. Quant's contributions included providing the essential infrastructure, a robust blockchain platform, and secure smart contracts. They also ensured seamless interoperability between central bank ledgers. This project is a shining example of the boundary pushing innovation we foster within our ecosystem. Learn more about the project, blah, blah, blah. Stay tuned for the latest advancement from our fintech ecosystem. So, Luxembourg, latest project, Quantum Project Rosalind. I found this cool, right? That the Luxembourg House of Financial Technology shouting out Quant for what they're doing.
Yeah, it's
LinkedIn
cool.
right now, yeah, go.
Yeah, it's definitely cool, and I know from a fact that the Loft knows about Quant for quite some time. I did research with
Right.
these guys back in 2020, 2021, asked them about Overledger, and they knew. So yeah, I mean they are kind of passionate about Quant, and it's great, pretty great because well, Luxembourg is a financial hub, a main financial hub in Europe.
Yeah,
And well, there's
it's
a
a
lot of
tiny country,
traffic.
but there's a lot of money there.
There's a lot of traffic going through Luxembourg for sure. And they try to be a niche in the sense that they really try to attract fintechs. And then it's great to see Quant around there. It's good news. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
Like it.
it's shaped
Luxembourg
the future of
tries.
finance.
Yeah, Luxembourg thrives on a certain niche around finance and especially fintech technology. So it's great, if you ask me. Yeah.
Yeah, so the Loft aims to foster innovation and develop solutions that shape the future of financial services that will connect and create value for the entire Luxembourg financial ecosystem, financial institutions, fintech startups, and trailblazers, IT industry, research, and academia, as well as regulatory and public authorities. Its founding private sector partners are BGL, BNP Paribas, Clearstream, Deutsche Börse Group, BCEE, Deloitte, Foyer Group, KPMG, Post Luxembourg, Six Payment Services, PricewaterhouseCoopers, Societe Generale, Telindus, Proximus Group, and Temenos. I think we know some of these names. The other partners of the initiative are the Luxembourg Chamber of Commerce, the City of Luxembourg, and the University of Luxembourg. Yeah, so yeah, a lot of the usual suspects here. Really interesting that they are shouting out Quant. Speaking of quants, This is the wrong one. I was looking for another one. Here we go. So, updates to the digital euro legislation by Gilbert Ferdian from the 18th of March. Quote, the digital euro presents an opportunity to use new tools and technologies that can help tackle the ongoing challenge of fraud. This is a bit of a longer article where Gilbert goes into the EU Parliament's Committee on Economic and Monetary Affairs, where they spoke about the digital euro and they updated their draft, revealed some key changes. So they're spoken about Piero Cipollone, member of the ECB's executive board, was explicit in the commitment to preserve everyone's freedom to use a public means of payment anywhere in the euro area, even as payments go digital, right? And this pertains to cash, right? The stinky, nasty, disgusting, disease-spreading banknotes that everybody loves so much because they think that otherwise they're going to be tracked. And I heard the same from the Brits, right? This stance is the same in the UK as it is in Europe. Paper money will not go away. No. Everybody will still be able to pay with coins and bills, just as you're used to. Don't worry about it. That's what they say. Anyway, so they addressed concerns around bank disintermediation, right? So that means that if the central bank starts making money for everybody, would there still be a use for ING, Rabobank, etc.? Which is obviously a fear of them, has been addressed 10,000 times before, even on this show. But here they give the example. The central bank has also discussed implementing deposit limits as a precautionary measure to help address concerns from banks relating to contagion or risk to other parts of the system. By taking this approach, the ECB can ensure it understands what it means for the end user. However, while it's reassuring to hear that the ECB is committed to preserving the role and share of central bank money in payments, it's equally important to clarify that the introduction of this new form of money will not alter how banks operate, hence the safeguards included in the design of the digital euro. So the next part is what struck me as odd initially, then I reread it a couple of times, and now I'm really intrigued. Because we always said, right, banks will never use permissionless blockchains. Right, Tim? They will always go for their own in-house safety. Solution. The environments that they can control and control, right? So we were always operating under the impression that the, let's call it the Ethereums and the XDCs of this world will not be the go-to solution. But permissionless blockchains, the concept of an internet of money, has the potential to transform the financial services industry. It consists of a combination of interoperable permissionless blockchains that allow both people and institutions to safely transact on public networks whilst maintaining privacy and confidentiality. For banks, transacting on these new large-scale networks can enable them to gain greater distribution, payment acceptance, and settling options. Until now, public blockchains were typically used for cryptocurrency. Increasingly, though, central banks are enabling businesses to run payments on public blockchains, and if engineered correctly, they can have even greater resilience due to the widespread distribution. This shift towards permissionless blockchains is a positive evolution in the maturity of blockchain. We're now seeing the acceptance of broader networks being used, which, combined with the right technology, provides access to greater networks that often more users, distribution, and liquidity. So this is interesting. And obviously, right, this is what Gilbert writes, if combined with the right technology, and here, if engineered correctly.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a clever piece. But this is information from the ECB. So the shift towards permissionless blockchains, that is really, 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 really cool for payments, right? We're not saying that CBDCs are necessarily going to be built on public permissionless blockchains. It's not what this says. It says that payments for banks can be done on multiple networks, right? So this is, I think, a win for the decentralization maxis to a degree, right? And you can still be tracked, but this still can happen with cash. Did you have anything to add on this, Tim?
Yeah, we had a little bit of a discussion before the show about this.
Yes.
Now, I'm kind of neutral here because, yeah, your point, if I remember correctly, was that it's a great sign.
Yeah, it's a pivot.
Yeah, exactly. And my point is that, well, they have been designing Overledger for multiple networks. So they've been doing this from the start. But to hear this from the central bank or central banks in general is great, of course, because it starts to legitimize what is going on in the blockchain and in DLT space.
Yeah.
And
more importantly, what Gilbert's been doing for years.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you need an end solution that kind of combines everything. So yeah, it's good news either way. But yeah, I hope this trend continues, obviously.
Yeah.
We have the usual privacy arguments.
This is interesting, right? This is also one of the main things about Quant, right? Central Bank has also stated that consumers will be able to use the digital euro offline, offering cash-like privacy to users, while personal transaction details would only be known to the payer and the payee. While a certain level of apprehension around this new form of money is to be expected, we must remind ourselves that this is often the case when we experience significant change. If we cast our minds back to when bank cards were first introduced, we witnessed similar hesitation then too. This may mean that initially acceptance of the digital euro is gradual, but regardless, it's crucial that the ECB continues to uphold the highest levels of privacy throughout future stages of development if they want to gain consumers' trust and encourage widespread adoption. And this is also what I heard from it was the same video that I was referring to about the House, the UK. There was a guy speaking to this, the digital pound, that it can be used as people use their money right now. So people can pay with their phone, people can pay with their card. And that is obviously also what's going to happen with the euro, right? You can just get debit cards, credit cards, but also prepaid debit cards, right? Like you do with your crypto.com card right now. You put the crypto on there and you can just pay with it. And if the card's empty, the card's empty, right? It's not a credit system. You can do the same with CBDCs, and then you can put measures in place to the quote unquote traceability, etc. Right? So if you want to pay your cleaning lady and you want to do that without her needing to pay taxes, you could just use your prepaid debit card. But yeah, out of convenience, most people, the opponents usually forget about that. Right, then we have the fraud argument. Presents an opportunity to use new tools. If the ECB wants to maintain trust in the digital euro, it must prioritize effective fraud detection and prevention. This is because the banks can effectively demonstrate the capabilities of the digital euro and its ability to protect users from fraudulent activity. It can strengthen its reputation. And what is next? Well, as the ECB progresses in developing a digital euro, it will continue to iterate, design elements, address concerns, and optimize benefits. We look forward to seeing how the digital euro continues to evolve as it provides a unique opportunity for commercial banks, enabling them to launch new and innovative products, address new use cases, and extend their scope beyond domestic markets. And that last bit, I think, is really interesting because that is where a lot of the, in my words, uninformed banks go crazy, right? Oh, yeah. If the central bank is going to issue money, then what do we do? And they then entirely forget what their position in the economy is right now. And that is getting money from the central bank and distributing that in a way into the economy. So nothing really changes, really. It is a pivot, right? It is a pivot for banks that they need to do. They just need to keep up. And the same for us. I mean, it's coming, and you can think of it what you will. And I would highly encourage you to ask the questions, because we need the questions to keep everybody honest and make everything better. But it is coming. And yes, it will be a work in progress, but I'd say it's inevitable. And I'm happy to see that this permissionless blockchain thing is becoming a thing now. Right? Imagine that you can send CBDCs. I mean, it will most likely already be free, but you can just pay with CBDCs maybe in on Polygon or on Solana or whatever. Obviously, it needs to be integrated with Overledger because it's going to be the infrastructure for the dollar, the pound, and the euro.
You won't need stablecoins anymore.
Maybe, because people still need to launder their ill-gotten money from their scams and stuff.
We'll have to see how this goes, but at least seeing all these parties talking about Quant and Quant also talking about them is good. And we'll have to see how exactly it develops. For sure. It will take another couple of years, although the time pass of the digital euro is getting clearer and clearer. In the beginning, we didn't really know what they were going to do. It was just speculation. But now they actually have a roadmap and a plan of implementation. And usually when we see these type of trajectories, it will actually happen. It will play out.
Speaking of implementation, I found my source. I actually posted it on Warpcast. Give me a follow, like, no. So this was the article. It was on Crypto Slate. Not really sure how reputable that is per se. ECB executive pens November 2025 rollout for digital euro CBDC. End uses to have holding limits, but none for corporates as push for digital euro adoption across Europe by late 2025 continues. I'll put this in the description as well. That's enough spam. Fuck off. And there was this other thing. Right here, the London Stock Exchange plans blockchain digital asset exchange. This was also interesting. This is from Ledger Insights. I believe the team liked, retweeted, shared something like this, but then on LinkedIn. So according to a report of the Financial Times, the London Stock Exchange Group is planning a blockchain-based exchange to target private markets. It will tokenize traditional or real-world assets rather than cryptocurrencies and aims to support cross-border digital asset trading. SDX SIX went live with its sixth digital exchange, SDX, in 2021. So the ultimate goal is a global platform that allows participants in all jurisdictions to be able to interact with people in other jurisdictions, completely abiding by rules, laws, and regulation, potentially multiple jurisdictions simultaneously, which is something that hasn't been possible in an analog world. Murray Rose, head of capital markets at the LSE Group, told the Financial Times. The stock exchange has already started discussions with the UK Treasury and regulators in other jurisdictions. Here, and they're talking here about Tel Aviv Stock Exchange and Hong Kong, I saw in this article. So there's also here Osaka, there's a lot of reasons why Quant could have shared or liked this article. And it's old. It's from 2023, but I think it's cool to bring up again. So yeah, there's a lot going on, and a lot keeps going on with the world of quant.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's kind of a wrap up. I'm toast.
That's a
You
wrap.
did the talking more than I did.
Throw in a quarter, talk for a dollar.
Yeah. True. I think we're, as always, we just need to see how it is in 2 weeks' time. And we are
For sure.
approaching the halving. So the
Yeah.
market will
Almost forgot.
the
I
market
almost forgot.
will huh?
Go. Yeah, keep going.
I mean, the market will eventually react either way. And I'm not sure how it will go, but it will cause some kind of reaction. And I think personally that we will see an uptrend in general coming years. And that this entire narrative that we see now will be irrelevant ultimately.
Yes.
But for now,
Yes.
we tend to see ourselves as really important, going into a crypto casino, trying to make the most of it, really scared of stopping music, which will stop if you enter that crypto casino. But if you just stick to your course and just follow the path, it will all not really matter in the long
Yeah,
run. Stay comfy,
exactly.
I'd say.
Yeah. And if you're on Telegram, I created a channel, Comfy Show Updates. You can find it under t.me/theComfyShow. And yeah, we'll have to see how this channel will evolve, but we're going to be posting new episodes there. And if I figure out how the discussion thing works, maybe you guys can ask questions there rather than on YouTube. And it will just be a very nice archive of our episodes, both podcast and YouTube. So give that a follow as well. Put the link in the description for this too. Thank you guys so much for watching, listening. Make sure to like, subscribe, share, tell your friends, buy QNT, and
Yep.
yeah, stay comfy.
Yes, and I will see you in a month because in 2 weeks' time I'll be in Spain. I'll see you in 4 weeks. Did it tell we need to discuss after the show, but we'll see each other in a bit. Stay comfy.
Take one for you.